Welcome to the G-Rated Podcast. This is Mary Emerson. Thanks to Lori McLeod and Pam Washam for their permission to use the background music, which includes nature sounds, by the way, and which they composed, performed, and recorded. This is called Ice Melting. Good morning, everybody, on Blind Cool Tech and on my G-Rated Podcast. This is Mary. I have decided this morning, it's January the 6th, probably about 11-something a.m. It's my first podcast of 2006, I think. I don't think I did any other ones before now, but anyway, this is going to be my health podcast. And those of you who don't want to hear about holistic health and all that kind of stuff, you can just turn it off and delete the podcast, which is fine with me. It may not even get out onto Blind Cool Tech. I don't know how open Larry is to this particular point of view. But I'm definitely going to put it on my podcast, and since it's my podcast, I can say what I want to. But anyway, those of you who don't want to hear about this stuff, feel free to just delete it, and that's fine. Anyway, I decided to do a discussion of my experiences with holistic medicine and the use of herbs, the use of supplements, organic foods, all that kind of stuff. I'm using a WS-320. I'm using the Sony microphone that I used last time, but this time I've got it clipped to me, and I'm holding the recorder in my hand, so that seems to work out pretty well. This microphone has a gooseneck on it, which is kind of interesting. You can adjust it so that it's not right up towards your mouth. You can slant it forward a bit so that it's kind of pointed out a little more, and now I'm touching it. One side is the left side and the other side's the right. That side's pointing to the left and that side is pointing to the right, but I don't know if it's right or not. I'm just kind of, you know, using it the way it's going to be. And it doesn't make much difference anyway because I'm not out running around doing stuff. I've been involved in one way or another using different types of herbs and stuff since around 1979. I had a friend at the office who really got involved with this in a big way. Her persuasion was mostly the teachings of Dr. John Ray Christopher, who was an herbalist and, to my way of thinking, had some ideas that were pretty off the wall. I like his herbal knowledge, but I did not go along with some of the other things he taught. His diet prescriptions were rather strange. He recommended only fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds. No dairy products, no white flour. Now, granted, white flour is not a real good thing. It's good for you. But he did not like flour in any way, not even whole wheat flour. And definitely no meat. No fish, no poultry. But I liked some of the things he said about herbs. And over the years, I've used some of his remedies for various things, coughs, colds, flu, generally exhaustion, stress, you know, stuff like that. But I was introduced to just the concept of a different way of life by, you know, listening to some of his lectures. I still have tapes of them. And in fact, this week I spent quite a bit of time copying some videotapes onto 4-track audio tape, APH 4-track. I found them to be very interesting. I took some of the really strange stuff out because I just didn't want to keep it around. Although I am keeping the original videos for reference or whatever. And then I heard about another company called Wachters, Wachters, and I think they're based in South San Francisco, and I started using their products. They mostly had vitamin supplements and stuff and minerals. And I used their stuff for a while, and I found it was good, but it had side effects. Some of the products were too strong for me to deal with. It made me feel sick, and it made me, you know, feel like I was taking too much of stuff. I probably was. Didn't realize it. You have to go slow with a lot of things like this. And then I started reading books. There were some books, and still are, I think, from Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, although I don't know if they have some of the books now that they had back then, because they've pretty much gone digital. And one of the books that they had that I just was absolutely fascinated with was it's called Nature's Medicines. And it was by Richard Lucas, L-U-C-A-S, and I bet you that it's out of print. And I bet you that RFB doesn't have it anymore, which would be a shame, because it was wonderful. It had stories of how people had used various herbs over the centuries, and just fascinating, the different things that surround the use of herbs, and why they came to be used as they were. Another book that I really enjoyed and intend to reread, if they still got it, is The Green Pharmacy. And that is a general history of herbal medicine. And I think it was on 6 cassettes. But as I said, I don't know if they even have that anymore. And then I got some books from NLS. One was Back to Eden by Jethro Kloss, which is a classic. And they definitely still have that one, because I borrowed it recently. His last name is K-L-O-S-S, and he had teachings that were very similar to Dr. Christopher. So you kind of take what you want out of it and just ignore the rest of it, which is pretty much what I did. There are a lot of books that NLS has. They've got one interesting one that's essentially a large encyclopedia of remedies, which is, I can't remember now what the name of that thing is, but it was written by a couple of professors and teachers at Bastyr University up in, I believe it's in the state of Washington. There are some other books. One is Herbal Defense, written by a lady who has used a lot of herbs and stuff from India and is involved with Ayurvedic medicine. NLS also has Earl Mindell's Vitamin Bible and Herb Bible. I think they've got the Vitamin Bible. Horizons for the Blind has both the Vitamin Bible and the Herb Bible in Braille. There are other, just a lot of other books out there. There are vegetarian cookbooks and just all kinds of stuff. There's one that I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is. Let me pause. Andrew Weil, that's right. Natural Health, Natural Medicine, Spontaneous Healing, some books on cooking, and oh my, just all sorts of really neat stuff by him. And just there's a huge assortment of stuff, but you kind of have to go through and determine, you know, what's appropriate for you to read. Also, in a lot of these books, they have a certain way of living which I find to be good, but there are always some aspects of it that I don't quite agree with, so I just, as I said, I just take what I like and forget the rest of it. So I did a lot of reading, and at some point, I think it was probably around 1978 or 79, I decided to start being a vegetarian, but I didn't become one immediately stop eating junk. You know, that's really not the way to go with this. You have to do it very slowly. I cut out red meat, beef and pork. There are exceptions, though. When I went to my family's Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners, I had to eat ham because that's what they had. They did not understand my way of thinking, and I said, well, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'll just eat it. So that was that. But I decided, well, actually, this was fairly recently. I talked to somebody who had visited a slaughterhouse when he was 15 or 16 years old, and he just said he didn't want anything to do with meat anymore, and he's been a vegetarian since. I never went to a slaughterhouse, but after reading what was in meat and the results of eating meat and how it just clogs up the arteries and everything else, I just said, no, I don't want any more of this stuff. Plus, I think even more of a reason for me was the moral aspect of it. I love animals. Now, some animals are really dumb. Some animals are just plain mean. But the animals that I loved were dogs and cats and pets and stuff. And I said, how could I eat an animal and feel right about it? So that was one of the really big reasons that I quit eating meat. And then back around 1993 or so, I kind of decided, well, I am either a meat eater or I am not. And I then decided to cut out chicken, turkey, fish, and just totally be off of meat. Now, I do take a fish supplement from Whitefish because I find it's about the best way to get omega-3 supplementation. But I decided that I would cut out chicken, turkey, and fish. And having read what I've read about chicken and how chickens are treated, fortunately, though, recently they have started making a lot more free-range chicken available, and they now have organic eggs, which you can buy. They're very expensive, but you can get them if you want them. And I do eat eggs occasionally, and I use them in cooking, and I'm not totally off of white flour. I do like to bake, especially Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff. So I've had podcasts where I have talked about baking, and there was one that I did for Thanksgiving that you probably have all heard, where I made pumpkin pudding. But I have had some fun working with whole wheat flour and grinding grain just to see what it was like and working with it and all that. It's been very interesting. I've made yogurt occasionally just to see how to do that. And I went through a phase where I made my own bread for a long time, and then I just got to the point where it was too much work. Even with a bread machine, you have to kind of remember to throw the stuff in there and turn the thing on, you know. And I found that with a bread machine, at least the one that I have, that a lot of my bread tasted like it was over-processed. It just tasted like it had been baked too long and kneaded too long, and I just kind of decided, now I'll just go ahead and buy it from the store, because you can get whole grain bread. I don't always do that. I very often just get wheat, which I suppose probably has lard in it, but oh well. Nobody's perfect. So that's the story of all that. Another thing that I want to mention is water. I went through a series of tools for water processing, I guess you would say. I started out with a couple of reverse osmosis water filtering systems, which I liked very much, but then I lost track of the company that made them. And then I went through a couple of other water filters that were just simply filters. And they had maybe one or two carbon filters, and that was it. Well, our water here tastes so bad, it's not real chlorine taste, but it has ammonia in it. I don't know why in the world they put ammonia in our drinking water, but it unfortunately has a kind of a bitter taste to it. It always has, even before they put the ammonia in it. It tasted bad. So I think it was back around 1987 or 88, I got a water distiller. And I liked it, but I had an awful time trying to clean the thing out. And it finally just conked out. They do after a couple of years. And didn't think it was worth getting it fixed. So I went back to reverse osmosis for a little while. And then probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I kind of missed distilled water. And I got another distiller. And I went through that one, and it quit. And then I got a third one, and it quit. They just don't last very long, and it's not really worth sending the thing back to get it fixed, because what happens is a lot of the minerals from the water, even though a lot of them are evaporated in the gases and stuff that come out from the top, in the steam, I guess you would say, they do get caked onto the insides of the distiller, and it's a mess. So I just kind of said, nope, I'm going to go back to reverse osmosis. And so a couple of years ago, I found a really good company on the internet, and their website is freedrinkingwater.com, and that's all written together, free drinking water. It's all lowercase. And they have various types of reverse osmosis water filtering systems that are very easy to install, although the under-counter type you have to probably have some help with. And I got the one for apartments because I live in an apartment, and it has 4 stages of filtration. One of them is a very thin but very fine membranous stage, which is what actually filters out all the junk that the carbon filters don't. And you change the filters every 6 months. I've had the same membrane for about a year, and I'm probably going to change it in another couple of years, unless the water starts tasting bad. But you can change the filters without any kind of tools whatsoever. It's a little bit tricky to figure out how to do it at first. In fact, I've got a piece of paper that describes exactly what to do, because every 6 months I kind of need to refresh my memory. But it's a countertop filter. It hooks up to your faucet. There's a hose that goes from your faucet to the device, which is probably about a foot tall and, say, 8 or 9 inches square. Maybe it's a little smaller than that. I don't know. I'm not actually looking at it. But that sits on your counter. And also, there is as I said, the little thing that goes on your faucet. And that's really about all there is to it. There is another hose, though, that goes into whatever container you're going to put the water in. I find that I can do about a gallon of water in 15 minutes. If you want to speed things up a little bit, you can turn your water faucet to warm, but not hot, but warm, and that'll filter it through even faster, probably in about 10 minutes. But the taste of the water is so good. It just tastes so clean and so fresh. And I go through probably about a gallon of water a day, because this stuff, when you drink it, it goes down so smooth and so quick. You don't realize you've had 2 cups of water until you kind of take a breath and you think, oh my goodness, I've really had this much water. So that's another thing that I have been involved with, is freedrinkingwater.com. They've done some excellent work as far as providing easy to use water filtering. As far as the supplements that I've been taking for a while, this has kind of been a long road, because I felt the need for them. I was under a great deal of stress when I was working, and I felt the need for something to keep me going so that I wouldn't get run down and exhausted, even though I kind of was anyway, just because of all the pressure and all the, you know, had to do everything by last week and that kind of thing. And so I have decided on a program of supplementation, which I find that works very, very well for me. I'm involved with a company called CellTech, and I take a really excellent fiber product from them, which is not only fiber, but also enzymes and bacteria that you need to digest your food properly and that sort of stuff. And then I take blue-green algae, which is one of the main things that the company sells that I really like. And I take a product called Sea Cure, which is the fish supplement that I mentioned. It's a protein, but it's broken down into its peptide chains, which means it's basics, so it's very easy to assimilate. And then I take products from CC Pollen in Arizona, bee pollen, royal jelly, and propolis. And I think that's about it. Although recently I've added goji juice, which an acquaintance of mine started taking and really liked. And I find that when I use that, I get a great deal of energy, and it just has a lot of trace minerals in it. And you take maybe about a quarter cup a day of it, and that's enough. You don't really need very much of it. So I find that these help me keep going. And there's also a really good company called Pines International, and they're in Kansas. And they have wheatgrass, barley grass, either in tablets or in powder. And I like the wheatgrass because you can put it in a smoothie and drink it, and it just adds a lot of green vegetable fiber and minerals and stuff. I don't eat enough green stuff, and I like to be able to, you know, take advantage of that. So that's my supplementation. I think this type of thing is very individual, and you have to kind of find the right thing that you like and the thing that works, the stuff that works the best for you. The other thing that I would like to mention, and we're getting down near the end of my discussion here, is that a lot of stores these days have a lot of organic produce and organic products. Safeway here in California has just started adding more organic fruit. I just got some bananas today, which are smaller than what you would normally see bananas, but they are really good. The skin on the outside is smoother. I don't know, they may be a little green, but I don't care because they taste so good. I didn't bother to ask anybody what color they were. And they taste a little different. They don't have a real strong banana kind of smell to them either. When you peel them, they have a little bit of, I don't know, I guess you would kind of think of it as maybe a mango kind of a smell or a taste to them. But it's so mild that you would have to concentrate to really notice it. But they do have sort of, when you bite into them, they have a little tiny bit of a tropical mango sort of sense to them. And they definitely are good, and they're different. And we now have organic navel oranges, and of course we've had apples for a long time. And there's now organic yogurt. There are different brands of organic milk. I'm still an avid dairy products enthusiast. And the milk is really, really excellent. You can tell that it's more nutritious, and it's kind of neat to know that these cows have not been all shot up with hormones and who knows what else, antibiotics. And the yogurt is organic and has live culture. There are different brands, actually, that are really interesting. And, of course, you can get peanut butter that has been made with peanuts that have not been, fertilized with junk. So, and the trick with the peanut butter, it's not homogenized, which means that the oil is going to separate. But what I do is I just store the container upside down in the fridge, and that way it kind of mixes up so that when you take it out, you're still going to have some oil kind of on the top of it, but generally it'll be okay. It takes a bit of getting used to, but there are different brands now of peanut butter that are old-fashioned, have not been homogenized or processed horribly or anything like that. There was a company, Walnut Acres, that used to make a peanut butter spread that was a combination of peanut butter and honey and sesame seeds. And oh, that stuff was so good. You could sit there and eat it out of the jar. And it didn't separate because it had the honey in it. And unfortunately, they don't make that anymore. And their whole focus has changed. So they don't even have mail order anymore, as far as I know. But that stuff was really, really excellent. They sold all kinds of great stuff, and I remember just having a great time going on their website and shopping for herbs and shopping for spices and all kinds of stuff from them. And they were just great. And then all of a sudden they went out of business. I think they eventually came back after about a year or two, and for a while I saw some soups that they had manufactured being sold in the stores. They had terrific soups. They had a pumpkin soup that was incredibly good, and it's just such a shame that, you know, some of these companies they do so well, and then they get a change in management or something changes, and they're gone. But this one, they were going for at least 50 years. And so, anyway. But that's all that I can think of as far as food and stuff is concerned and my experiences with that. I do occasionally use medical magnets that you can use for any sort of circulation problems, or I've known people who have used them when they have had carpal tunnel syndromes and they couldn't type. They were medical transcriptionists and their wrists hurt them, and they would take some of these therapeutic medical magnets and put them on their wrist, and it would increase the circulation to the point where their hands got warm again and the circulation kind of loosened things up so that they didn't have any muscle spasms or anything like that. I do have a magnetic mattress pad, and I like it very much. It seems to relax me enough that I can go to sleep at night. It's kind of funny the way that these things work, because each magnet has a north pole and a south pole, and the north pole is generally the side of the magnet that people use when they need healing and calming. The south pole is more energized, and yet sometimes these things work in reverse, where the north pole doesn't really do any good, so they just turn the magnet over and use the other side. But with a mattress pad, the north pole is facing up, and it's essentially a mattress pad, and embedded in it, every 3 or 4 inches going across the whole thing, are magnets. And the pad has enough foam in it that you don't really notice the magnets. Plus, it's got a cover over it that zips up. So the pad is inside the cover, so you're not sleeping directly on magnets, which would be very uncomfortable, to say the least. And I think I've pretty much told you everything that I plan to tell you about health and my views of it. I really think that You can do a lot to be responsible for your well-being, and the only time that I would go to a doctor would be for a diagnosis, unless it was something extremely serious and they felt that they really needed to take care of something immediately. So, with that, I think I'm going to sign off for now, and I hope that this has been at least somewhat informative. It's certainly a different point of view. And I hope that you found this interesting. And I would be interested in hearing any comments, or if you want to add something to something that I have said, then feel free to email me, and I can certainly acknowledge it on my next podcast. So with that, take care, and my email, if you want to hear from me, will be listed at the end in the closing theme. So, bye for this time.
This has been another edition of the G-Rated Podcast. If you wish to contact me, you can email Mary Emerson, MaryEmerson at sbcglobal.net. Thanks for listening.